You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This Saturday is Citizen Science Day. It's a national effort to get volunteers out in the field to assist and partner with professional scientists on a variety of projects. Here in Wisconsin, we're no strangers to citizen science. For over 100 years, volunteers have gotten involved in everything from monitoring water quality to counting birds and photographing dragonflies. This year is the 15th anniversary of the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Network, which helps support these projects. Eva Lewandowski is a conservation biologist and the Citizen-Based Monitoring Coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Eva, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, Eva, sometimes I hear about citizen science, you know, people getting involved in science projects as this cool, newfangled thing. We've been doing this a long time in Wisconsin, right?
Absolutely. We have a very long and proud tradition of this partnership between members of the public and professional scientists. I think you mentioned, you know, over 100 years, going all the way back to the very first Christmas bird count in 1900, we have had these strong ties. So it's not a new idea for us at all.
Let's talk about what's in it for both sides of the equation. First of all, what do you see as the benefit for the citizens themselves, the everyday people who go out and take part in one form of citizen science or another?
Well, there's so many benefits. It's a great way to get outside, to experience nature, to see plants and animals and waters up close. It's a good way to meet people or to spend time with friends and family. And it's also a really great way to contribute to research, management, and conservation of our natural resources. And a lot of our volunteers are just incredibly passionate about protecting and understanding the land around them. So it offers so many different benefits.
And what do scientists get out of it? Do they get real research benefit from people getting out and getting involved?
We absolutely do. I mean, we would not be doing this if there wasn't a real benefit. It has incredibly powerful consequences for research, for management, for even for policy. We are only able to cover so much of the state with professional biologists. You know, there's only so many boots on the ground. And then when you start to bring in hundreds or thousands or even sometimes tens of thousands of volunteers, you are expanding that effort just dramatically. So we do get very high quality data, and we get data that covers the state and covers the years much more than we would be able to do on our own.
Now, somebody's out there thinking, oh, this sounds nice, but I didn't do so good in biology class. Maybe I'm not the person they want. Are they the person you want?
Well, we want everyone who wants to be involved. There are so many different projects in the state. The DNR alone runs over 20, and then there are many, many other projects. And what I like to tell people is that there's a project for everyone, every age, every background, every skill set. So, you know, if you're someone who doesn't know the first thing about identifying plants or how to take a water sample, you can probably spot a turtle crossing the road. And you can go online and report that to us. And then we have some volunteers who are, you know, expert biologists in their own right and can get more involved. So, again, projects for everyone, regardless of your skills or knowledge or expertise.
But I don't have to answer the question of why the turtle crossed the road. Is that right?
You don't have to. You can if you want to.
Well, now let's get to Citizen Science Day. It's this Saturday. There are a bunch of projects going on now, a bunch of ways to take part. And I want to actually talk about some of the specific ones. Let's start with the Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey.
Sure.
Talk about that effort.
Right. Well, this is one of our longest-running projects. It's been running for over 35 years, and it's a project that requires people to know how to identify frogs and toads by call. So this is a project that you have to have a little bit of prior knowledge, or you have to teach yourself or learn. But there's two ways to get involved. You can do a traveling route where you stop at different points along a roadside, or you can pick one site. Maybe it's your house if you're lucky enough to live by a pond or a wetland, or maybe you go to a local park about once a week at night, and you listen for the frogs and toads that are calling. Write down what you're hearing and then tell us about them.
How many people usually get involved with this?
With the Frog and Toad Survey, it's usually over 100 throughout the state. So it's a popular project, but because there are, you know, you do need that little bit of advanced knowledge of knowing the calls, it's not something that every single individual would be interested in.
And do you ever get the results? Like, wait, hey, what's that kind of toad doing over here? We didn't expect to find them there.
Yeah, actually, we do. We've had some new county records or records that haven't been reported in several decades from our volunteers from the Frog and Toad Survey. And when that happens, oftentimes we'll send out a DNR biologist to just double check, or we'll ask if other volunteers are hearing something in the same area. So that's one of the big benefits, is that we'll get new records and learn more about the distribution and the range of the frogs and toads.
We're talking to Eva Lewandowski from the Wisconsin DNR, conservation biologist there. We're talking about citizen science, how everyday people can get involved in measuring, find out what's going on in nature around Wisconsin. Okay, Eva, another one. I couldn't tell the frog and toad calls apart. I can identify a crane, though. Tell us about the Midwest crane count.
Right. Well, the crane count is a great project, very popular, and it happens to be the same day as Citizen Science Day this year, so this Saturday, April 13th, so that makes it sort of doubly special. And it's a project that, this is a project that families can do together, that you don't need a lot of prior knowledge. You go out early in the morning on Saturday, and you listen for and you look for cranes. And like you said, most people, almost everybody in the state, can identify not just the crane by sight, but most people can identify that call overhead, right? You hear the sandhill crane and you know what it is. And so it's just a couple hours long. That's just the one day, one morning, all year round. So it's a quick and easy way to get started.
And before we look at some of the other projects, I should ask if people are thinking, yeah, I want to do that, how do we sign up?
So that is a project run through the International Crane Foundation. So you can either just Google that, or you can go to their website, which is savingcranes.org.
And if I wanted to do the Frog and Toad Survey, how do I sign up for that?
That you can find through the DNR website. And in fact, the DNR website links to almost all of our partner projects, like the annual Midwest Crane Count as well. So if you go to the DNR website, which is dnr.wi.gov, and just search for volunteer or search for citizen-based monitoring, you'll find all the information you need.
And then there's the Wisconsin, I've heard of this one, the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, well, that is a very exciting project. We are trying to document the distribution and abundance of all the bird species that breed in Wisconsin, and it's a five-year effort, and this is the final year of the project in 2019. So we are trying to finish strong and get people out throughout all the parts of the state that we haven't covered yet to find evidence of birds that are breeding. So that might be you see a bird building a nest, or you hear the male singing, or maybe you even see the nest with eggs, or you see the little baby fledglings. So it's that breeding evidence that's really important. And it can be anything from a robin that's breeding in your backyard, or you know, even on your porch, to someone who goes out into a really wet marsh and is looking for some of the secretive marsh birds, maybe some bitterns or some grebes or something like that. So all skill sets can help with that project.
All right, now here's one. I'll try to pronounce it. The Wisconsin Odonata Survey. Who are we looking for there?
That is a project that is primarily photography based. So if people are interested in photographing wildlife, that is the project for them. So odonates are our dragonflies and damselflies, which a lot of people just love to look at with their beautiful colors. So any place that you have water, whether it's a stream, a river, a little pond even, you can go out, you can photograph those beautiful dragonflies and damselflies, and you can learn to identify them, and we'll help you identify them as well. There's trainings and books and resources, and it's a project that you can start slow, you know, just take a couple pictures at first, but a lot of people find it very addictive, and quickly they find that's all they're doing all summer long.
So I was going to say, is there a peak season for this? But I feel like we see dragonflies from when it warms up till when it cools down.
Exactly. Yeah, the dragonflies can come out as early as end of March. I've seen a couple out here in April already, and they can last all the way through October.
Now, this is the National Citizen Science Day coming up on Saturday. I'm guessing from your perspective, every day can be Citizen Science Day. What
right.
kind of things can people do across the year to get involved?
Well, that's a great point. You know, this is a one-day event, the Citizen Science Day, but it's really just the start of this season. But there are projects that last all year round. there are projects even that go in winter. You can always look at birds in winter. There's up north carnivore tracking projects in winter. And then now, of course, into the spring, all the projects that we've talked about, plus lots of projects with pollinators, with turtles, with invasive species, native mussels, lake monitoring. The list just goes on and on and on. So it really is all year round. There are also a couple online projects if people are not interested in getting out and about outside and prefer to kind of sit at home. But it's something that you can do all year round. And again, you can just go to that DNR website and search for volunteer or search for citizen-based monitoring, and you'll find the list of all the projects that are available.
Do people get hooked? Do you have a lot of return customers doing citizen science?
We absolutely do. Yeah, people get hooked, and they get hooked on more than one project. So it's not at all unusual to meet someone who might be participating in 7 or 8 or even 10 or 12 different projects. And they'll say, oh, I started out with birds a decade ago, and now I do birds and turtles and frogs and toads and mussels and bumblebees and native plants and everything under the sun.
I imagine the temptation for you has got to be tough because there's so many you can choose from. Is there one you're going to be joining in on Saturday?
Well, I actually coordinate our bumblebee project, the Wisconsin Bumblebee Brigade, and it's a little early for bumblebees, but we did just receive today our very first bumblebee report of the season. So I am going to be keeping my eyes out for bumblebees this Saturday and see, but I'll probably see some birds for sure. You can always see birds, but I got my fingers crossed for the bumblebees.
Eva, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's Eva Lewandowski, conservation biologist and the citizen-based monitoring coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, getting a taste of what's going on Citizen Science Day. That's coming up this Saturday. Again, you can check out the DNR website to find out what's going on around the state and how to sign up if you want to. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.